All right, thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us as we come with the annual Africa Discipleship. We are a little twisted with regards to the function this morning, but looks like they are working. So we just give you praise for participating and also for listening, because we are really moved by the hand of God, the teachings that He continued to share, with us. I should say, give to us. And so we just pray that everyone who listens this morning will be imbued with power. You know, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, Joshua was tasked to lead Israel into the promised land. You read about that in the first chapter of Joshua, the book of Joshua. That's the sixth book in the Bible. And this was no small feat. Now, he needed divine direction, which God volunteered. As he was with Moses, the Lord said, "So I will be with you." God promised. Now, this is a revealing lesson for us today, for we are on a mission, a similar type of entering a promised land. And so the title of today's message is Our Promised Land, because that's where we're going. Now, in Joshua, the first chapter, we were encouraged to be strong and courageous. You read that chapter, and that is what at least I get from it. There are other points there, but the main thing is for us to be strong and courageous. Joshua saw how God was with Moses. He served under him those 40 years. And so he promised the same for Joshua and for you and I, since God is no respecter of persons. He's promising the same for us. As he was with Moses, so he will be with you and I. Now, sometimes we elevate those who have gone on before us, and we should honor them. But God is no respecter of persons, and he did it for them. He will do it for us. That's what Romans, the second chapter, verse 11, is describing. He was with them, so he will be with us. And his promise is just as good today as it was back then. Now, we saw what he did for Moses, it's recorded. And you see what he did for Joshua, it's recorded. And you see what he did with the disciples, the early apostles, the early church, it's recorded in the book of Acts. And in a sense, really, a type of act is still being recorded by the church today. You know, we look back some millennia in the future, and God is going to say, "Well, this is what we were doing," and you reflect back and see where we may not have been courageous as we should or whatever. But you get the idea. It is being recorded. We may think we're advanced in technology, but God was way ahead, and he had all these things documented. And so you and I are going to be seeing it. So we're just actually acting it out. So when we come now with our video recording and so on, oh, he had that long ago. Now we read the book of the law should not depart out of our mouth, but we should meditate therein and do all that is written, for that way we are going to be prosperous. Read that in Joshua, the first chapter, verse 8. The book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night. That means all the time. That you may observe to do according to all that is written in therein. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and you shall have good success. Do you want to be successful? You really want a victory? You know, he has given us some very precious promises. One of them is victory. Jehovah Nissi. Even attach his name to it. He's guaranteeing that we will have victory if we would only rely on him, ladies and gentlemen. Now, courage is bravery or strength to do something that could be difficult, dangerous, or even unknown. This is the first lesson I get from this, and I'm encouraging you to tap into it. We shall be courageous. In Proverbs, the 28th chapter, you know, what is Proverbs again? When I was in primary school, we had a book called Book of Proverbs under the British system, and they tell us Proverbs are wise sayings. Proverbs, the 28th chapter, and verse 1. Let's see. Yes. The wicked flee when no man pursue, but the righteous, that's us, the righteous, remember we have been, he has imputed his righteousness unto us. Oh yes, you and I are righteous. We're honorable. Yes, we fall here and there. You knock yourself off, dust yourself off, repent, in other words, and just continue going on with him. He will never leave us or forsake us. No one who call upon him will he, ignore. And so the point here is that the righteous, though, notice what it is saying, the second, or I should say the latter part of the sentence. The righteous are as bold as lions. You look at all the videos with regard to the safari and so on, and you see people are very courageous and they go out there, but you look at these animals and you see the lion, they call it the king of beasts. They're not afraid. Well, neither should you. We're going to move forward and we're going to get things done. So God expects us to be bold. And over and over, Jesus said, be not afraid. He expects us to be bold, to be courageous. Now, in many cases, we know the will of the Lord, but the lack of courage to follow through, with our in our actions, really belie that understanding. Exercise faith, ladies and gentlemen, that is needed to believe the promises of God, because without faith we cannot please God. We saw it in the last lesson, Hebrews 11:6. So apply courage to make the decision, and we will have the promised outcome, whatever it is. Remember, he made another statement, my word shall not come back to me void. In other words, it's going to accomplish that which he has purposed. And whatever the promises are, ladies and gentlemen, he is going to see to it that they come to pass if we keep our end of the bargain. I was explaining in one of the messages that it is like, the game of checkers or chess. You have two participants. Really, you could extend it to others, but you get the idea. Two participants, and when one moves, then the other is it's others' turn, and it goes back and forth. Well, it's the same way when you walk with the Lord. He gave us his word, and then we believe. Then he leads us in a place where we're going to be tested. Yes, and everybody's going to be tested. And so my point, though, is that there is always a time when it is his move and always a time for us. Now, we need to be courageous when it is our turn to move. Don't allow the enemy to con us into giving up and turning back or backsliding or whatever it is. The point is this, we are supposed to be doing things when it is our turn. I want us to get that clear in our spirit. We need to be courageous. And so here it is, we are reading now, and we saw what happened to Mo Joshua. Well, we are familiar with the story of Moses, but you saw what happened to Joshua and how God is promising, as he was with Moses, so he will be with him, Joshua, and that by extension comes to you and I the same way. As he was with Moses, so he is with you, Brother Marcus, Brother Stephen, Brother Moses. God is with you the same. Well, in fact, you have the same name, Brother Moses, but you get the idea. And so here it is now. God is promising, and he's going to keep, he always keep his promise, right? Now, there are promises made, for example, healing, provision, peace, victory, lordship. You read about these in the seven promises of God, the presence of God in addition to salvation. What do you need? He promised to supply all our needs. Do you have courage to believe his promise? Jesus is awaiting your answer. I pray that it is yes. You believe that he's going to keep his end of the bargain. When he always moves when it is his turn. Yes, it goes back and forth from him to you and back to him again and so on. So that's it. And that's how you go, by the way, to a different level. He takes you a little further. By the way, same thing. Did you remember how the Bible records in Matthew, the fourth chapter, how Jesus was led into the wilderness to be tested? You and I are going to be led the same way. So sometimes folks say, well, why am I here? I shouldn't be. Listen, he's going to lead you where you're going to be tested. And everybody is going to be tested. And he expects us to pass in every grade because he has given us really the answer. It's like an open book test where you can look into the book and, of course, get the answers right there. And all you have to do is read it. Now, there are many issues facing us today. In Ecclesiastes, the third chapter, and let me turn to it quickly. And in verse 10, there is a statement there I want to bring to your attention. Chapter 3 and verse 10. Let me see. Here we go. Actually, the next page. It says, I have seen the travail which God has given unto the sons of men to be exercised in it. He had made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has set the world in their heart. There's no end to what you can see, you know. There's another translation that said endlessness. Stop and think about it. When you go to the store or you go to the market, you look. You can look again, and you can still look again. There's no end to your seeing. I mean, if you're going to record this in video, you're going to run out of video space. But your eyes, you can see this thing, and it's a remarkable technology that God has put in place that is functioning in our life. Sometimes we don't look at it from that viewpoint, but there's no end to our seeing. Well, here he's saying that he has set all this is before us in verse 10. He had made everything beautiful in his own time. He has set the world in their art, so that no man can find out words that God had made from the beginning to the end. You can't fathom the grand totality of it. In other words, you can't really count it up. There is always more. It's just like the trick question they used to ask us in math. What is the largest number? Whatever it is, you just add one more. It just keeps going. There's no end to it. It's the same way here. Now, the Apostle Paul, he was knocked off his horse, some might say his high horse. And later on, he could see. In other words, he came up to a stumbling block where God is confronted, and then he yielded to the Spirit. Now, the point there is that he yielded to the Spirit. I want to encourage you to recognize the solution to all the challenges that we have is for us to yield to the Spirit. Our goal is to see better spiritually. We must be advancing. The parable of the slothful servant that went and, buried his talent, he could have invested it, but he was afraid. You and I, ladies and gentlemen, are what? As bold as lions. We're not afraid. So we are spirit-led and we can be creative. We will advance the cause of Christ. And I want that to be a part of your thinking. Now, I'm going to go ahead and just encourage you, ladies and gentlemen, because I could go on and on and on. I want you to make a list. Make a list of the challenges that you face. Write them down. I mean, yes, you do know them, but there is something about writing things that it affects your mind. It stays with you. Your thought process starts to reflect on that a little bit more comprehensively. That's why I say make a list, write it down. And you're going to prioritize these, with regards to what you might consider easy and which is more difficult. But you prioritize those because you're going to go to the Lord. And by faith, you're going to ask God for solutions in attempting to fix these issues, these challenges. Yes, we want them solved. Like the children of Israel, they didn't realize it because, you stop and think about it. I mean, within 40 days, the spies went into the promised land and they got back out. Children of Israel, 40 years, they were wondering why they did not mix faith with the promises that God had given them. You and I can wander around in the wilderness in like manner, It is not that God doesn't, want to bless us. He has already blessed us. But if we lack faith, the courage to move forward, then we'll wander around in the wilderness for 40 years till another generation comes, one that is going to believe, because he's coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle. So if we don't make it, then the another group will. But there is going to be one that he's coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle. My mom used to use that expression when I was little. It means that your clothes is well ironed, it's clean and so on, starched and ready to for you to wear. Looks good the way it is supposed to be. It's the same thing. When we Jesus comes back, we're going to have a generation that is moving in faith and power and ready to rise up to meet him. Now, faith gives us this, at least by faith, really, we get this solution because God has all of them and he expects us to keep moving. And so in Matthew, the 11th chapter, for example, let's look at this one, not Matthew, but Mark, the book of Mark, the 11th chapter and verse 23 and verse 24. Let's look at this and read a promise here that you can learn from again. It says, "For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain," mountain there is figurative. It's any obstacle, any challenge that you have, right? "Whoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart." Don't have doubt. In other words, have faith. "But shall believe those things which he said," he said, "shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says." You are going to prophesy to yourself when you say unto that mountain, "Be thou removed." In other words, "With the help of God, I am going to overcome whatever it is. Thank you, Lord, for the blessings that you have poured up in your prayed provision. You have kept me in good health. You're going to renew my energy," and so on. And you can go on and on, write your own list, but you get the idea. And so you're going to present these before the Lord, because according to 2 Corinthians 1, verse 20, all his promises are yes and amen. There isn't anything that you and I may need that is not promised in the Bible somehow, somewhere. No, it's all in there, as they say in the commercial. It's all in there, like ragu, the sauce that they make over here in the States. But you get the idea. It's all in the promises. So this slothful servant went and buried his talent. He could have invested it, but he was afraid. You and I are not afraid, ladies and gentlemen. No. Whatever you pray, believing, you're going to receive. Where will you get that, I should say, confidence or faith from, or power from, to believe? Comes from God. Yes, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You got to saturate your mind with these promises. Saturate your mind with the word of God. And that is going to give you the authority to operate in power. And you'll do it. You start, little, but you go on. Make a list of the scriptures, ladies and gentlemen, that promise us these things. I have a few here, but you can make your own list with regards to what, God has promised. For example, he tells us, "I'll never leave you or forsake you." And of course, that is based on the term Jehovah Shammah, the last phrase in the book of Ezekiel, the 48th chapter, the very last phrase. There it is. That's where it is actually. The only place it's mentioned like that in the Bible, the Lord is there. And so my point, though, is, ladies and gentlemen, is that make a list of the scriptures, study them, meditate on them, saturate your mind with them so that you can continue to, should say, put them into practice. What did he say to Joshua? Meditate on them, what? Day and night. That's the way they spoke back then. Means all the time. That you may observe to do all that is in there. Well, you're not going to observe it if you don't know what it is. So you're going to have to read it, study it, meditate on it, understand what it means. Then you're going to start to apply. Yes, initially you may fall here and there, but you're going to find that you're going to get better. It's just like a bicycle. You get a little better at it and you don't fall off anymore. You just keep riding now. All right. Well, the same thing. You can do the same, ladies and gentlemen, with the scriptures. And I am saying to you that God is taking us to our promised land. Now, many people left Egypt. Many. I looked it up this morning. They said approximately little over 2 to 3 million. So one of the example was four, and the scripture doesn't give us the exact number, but it says 600+ thousand men, and they were a fighting age. But you get the idea. They left. Only two of them went into the promised land. Joshua and Caleb. Only two. What happened? The others did not mix faith. So they all died in the wilderness. I call it the wilderness of unbelief because a lot of people don't realize it, that we can do the same in the church. You can stay in the church 20, 30, 40 years and stay in the wilderness of unbelief, refusing to operate in faith. That's not God's view of us. He's taking us to our divine destiny, our promised land. And that's what he wants to do. He wants to take us there. And I'm saying to you again, if you're courageous enough to apply his word, you're going to find that it's going to produce exactly what he promised. I want to encourage you again. Study these words. Study these scriptures. Drill down. Even write, make up your own, or I should say make your own list and go to him. And by faith, you're going to see it start happen little by little. No, it's not going to be done all at once. No. You're going to have to observe as he teach you and train you along that line. But my point is that you're going to find that you're going to have good success. And that is God's purpose for you. He's going to take you to the promised land. Joshua got there, and so will you if you follow him. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you in the next lesson.